This is the Yukon Koyukuk Biographical Sketch Project, and today is the 18th of May, 1984, and we're in Fairbanks, and I'm talking with Johnson Moses. This is tape four, and we're at the Fairbanks Tanana Chiefs Patient Hostel. Johnson, we talked about the things that you used to do the year round when you were a boy. Can we do that again now for when you were a grown man with young children?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when our children were small, you know, or even the oldest one was about 10, or even younger. First, we start out with our children when they were not even school age yet. We had about 3 and waste. The first one, our oldest daughter, we never would stay in village with her till she was school age, you know. We used to go to winter camp in fall, back in September.
Excuse me, I don't like to stop you, but I... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. When our oldest daughter was not even school age, you know, she was a small baby when we started going to camp with her.
Mm-hmm.
With the first 4 kids, we was in camp almost all the time, almost year-round. Bertha knows, she, Alakakat, you know, the village, from July to November sometime.
Wow.
It's not every year, you know, but there was a lot of times I took her to fish camp, and she stayed in fish camp all summer while trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And days we used to cut logs for store, the trader down Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
It was James, Les James. He was a trader. He's got that big building down Hughes yet. It belongs to the corporation now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had big store, and he was buying logs for lumber. He sells the lumber. Me and some other guys going together, and we buy little gas, and whoever I go with that motor. So we cut logs, 12 foot long, some 24 foot. It's after I take Bertha to fish camp. She's in fish camp with her sisters, older sisters.
Mm-hmm. Where was that fish camp?
It was up Alatna River.
Mm-hmm.
Way up Alatna River, about 40 or 50 miles by river, up there.
Did that place have a name?
Yeah, it had a name. Zivanaka. While we're going up, we used to line up. The other people have Kikadus, Frank Sam and his family, that Bertha's older sister, Elma. They were going with Kicker, and the next sister of hers, Jimmy Edward died quite a while back, but his wife, my wife's sister Anne, is living yet with her kids. They used to go with Kicker too, and me and Bertha would go with dog team, because we don't have no motor. And we line with dogs. We go all the way up to Savannah, but that's about 3 or 4 days traveling. But we stop here and there to give our dogs rest and fishing a little. And finally we make it to Savannah, and we leave our family there. And me and Jimmy Edward used to come back down with his motor and go up Kaikuk River to cut logs.
Could you stop for just a minute and explain how it worked when you lined a boat with dogs? That might be really interesting to kids,
yeah.
I would think.
Okay. When we line with dogs, after a long time, we trained them so much lining all summer long. They used to, every end of the long stretch, you know, when there's no more place for lining, dogs bum, cut bank and stuff, we put them in boat and we take them across the river. Then we take them off. And the line would be about I would say about 100 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
About 100 feet long, there would be about 5 dogs, what we have, you know. And they tied close to the end in those 5 dogs. And the line would be tied onto the boat close to the front, not too close. It's kind of halfway, mm-hmm. a little over halfway up to the front.
Mm-hmm.
So the person who steered the boat wouldn't work too hard. If we tie it right in the front, then we would have to work hard. It pulled back towards the ground, towards the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So we tied it way back where the boat is just about halfway, just like balancing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Bertha didn't have to steer that hard,
you know, mm-hmm.
because she packed baby same time. She steered the boat and I'm in front taking care of the dogs,
mm-hmm.
telling dogs what to do. If there's snake, what dogs could catch on, you know, hook on back in the beach, close to the water, and we tell them gee or ho, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they go around the snake.
Mm-hmm.
So no dogs get tangled up back there,
mm-hmm.
after they learned so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First time though, they all usually get tangled up. They run into snake or,
yeah.
or sweepers.
Sure. Yeah, do they have to swim around
it? Yeah, they swim around it. After they learn so many times, you know, they get tangled up on snake, and the leader kind of learns. So
mm-hmm.
the leader is the main dog. He used to take the whole team around the snake.
Uh-huh.
And no trouble. We could just sit on the boat all day long, unless when we put them in boat and paddle across.
Mm-hmm.
Back
mm-hmm.
and forth like that upriver.
Now, when Bertha steered, what did she steer with? Did she
paddle?
Paddle.
Yeah,
okay.
Paddle.
So she'd sit in the back of the boat.
She'd sit in the back of the boat, and she steered the boat with paddle.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of hard work, you know, but women get used to it. Women
sure.
do the steering the boat.
Sure. Yeah. Now, tell us also a little bit what this boat would be like.
Our boat was 26 feet bottom. Most of the boat, you know, the rowboat, we call it,
mm-hmm.
they were about 24-25 foot bottoms, you
mm-hmm.
know, and square front, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the back end is tapered out, it's narrow in the back, that way you don't drag no water, you know, easy running, they call it.
So
it's kind of pointed in the back.
Sort of like the
yeah.
end of a canoe.
Yeah, like canoe
okay.
in the back. But the front is square and it's bended kind of high.
Undercut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that way you steer easy
sure.
because the front is way up high and it bent kind of slow.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Not too high, you know, really.
Mm.
So that's the kind of, they're about 32 inch wide, I think is the widest
mm-hmm.
place for a poling boat.
Mm-hmm. And what were they made out of?
They were made out of lumber.
Uh-huh.
6-inch lumber. Or, yeah, I think it's mostly 6-inch lumber.
Uh-huh.
An inch.
Thick.
Inch board. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what they whip saw. And
uh-huh. So this was handmade lumber?
Yeah, handmade lumber.
Wow.
Sometime the trader at Alakapit used to sell lumber too, so quite a few different people used to buy lumber, their
mm-hmm.
own lumber. But after a while, the store didn't work anymore, then people used to whipsaw their own boat lumber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have to steam it to get the shape in the back? How did you get that tapered
no,
shape in the back?
No, we cut it out. It cut out, you know.
Uh-huh.
You cut it out, and you built the bottom first. Built the bottom with the cross piece 2 feet apart about, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the way from the front to the back.
Mm-hmm.
You put cross piece on it. So those lumber, those 6-inch lumber have place to hang on to, you know. And the sideboard, you got grips on the side standing the way you want it, you know, it
mm-hmm.
kind of out a little bit on the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's wider on top, yeah.
Flared out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, flared out. All the way up to the front. And you start the side port 6-inch all the way up to about 20-inch high maybe on
uh-huh.
the side.
Uh-huh.
Enough so it's not too low.
Was it just empty inside, or were there seats?
Empty. There's sheets inside. You have to have sheets to so it wouldn't spread out too much, you know. It has to have that protection.
So that those would kind of keep it from...
Yeah, from spreading out.
Spreading.
Yeah, from spreading out. They were so far apart. We call it sheeting.
My dad used to call them forts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then up front after where the person rode, there's a place in front. We got our lock, two paddles. So when we get ready to paddle across, we row across.
Oh, so you could row like
roll like that.
Yeah. Like a rowing boat.
Yeah.
Ah, neat.
Yeah.
Boy, they must have taken some work to build. Did you build yours?
Yeah, I built my own. I think I built two boats in my lifetime because we didn't need boat that much. We had old boat a couple of times, somebody else's boat.
Do boats get names?
No. Some people, I think, used to have a name for their boat, but not us.
Is there a Koyukon word for that kind of boat?
Balgash.
Balgash.
Yeah. Balgash, they call it. I don't know what that means, too, in my language. It's just Indian words, I guess.
Well, sometimes I suspect for things like that that were in part introduced by white people, the origin of the name may not be as clear as for other things. I don't know. That's sometimes the case. Okay, I stopped you because I wanted to digress a little bit and talk about the boat because I think people would be interested in that.
Right.
Let's see. So we got you and Jimmy Edward back down the Alatna River and down to Hughes cutting wood.
Yeah, okay. We cut logs of pencil, what is about 30 some miles by river, I guess.
Oh, right. You showed me on the map.
Yeah. We go back in that creek. The creek is kind of pretty narrow, you know, but sometimes when we get enough water, we can get... One time we got 120 logs out of that creek way back. It took us, I don't know, 2 weeks, I guess, over 2 weeks, I guess, we stayed away from our family way up a lot. Then we raft it down from right from Henshaw.
Downstream,
yeah. In August. This was in August now, you know. It kind of get dark after late evening, so we have to tie up here and there. It's still overnight too dark. Then once we float all night, we just went to bed in the raft. That was kind of bum way to raft, you know, because after a while, the older people, there was a woman named Kathleen who was really smart woman. She died about a couple of years ago. She was old and she was smart. She knew that we came to her fish camp, their fish camp, 12 miles above Hughes, kind of early.
This Kitty's fish camp?
No, that's Joe Beatty's fish camp, 12 miles above Hughes.
That's right, okay,
We get to that camp kind of early, you know, and I guess we were kind of sleepy looking, I guess, and we landed. She feed us, you know, she was the person that feed everybody. And she feed us, and she asked me, where did you guys camp? I lied to her, you know, I said, it's up here a little way. But she didn't say anything after all. I guess she talked about it. And somebody told her that we traveled all night while we sleep. And after all, she find out she really talked to us. She said, if anything could happen while you sleep because we're in raft. If the raft flowed into something while we sleep against the boat could smash. And that would be the end of us, you know. But when we even think, we thought we were making time sleeping, going with raft. So we did that once, and after that, no more. We take the logs down to Hughes. And old James hook up his, start his cat and drag the logs up the bank. And he pay us for it. Not very much, you know. $2 something for 12 foot. Locks, you know, even some of them real big locks. He could make lots of lumber with it, but that's the way the trailer was, you know. We just got enough to buy gas and a few little things, flour and sugar and stuff, and start back up. We get to Alakakit and stay overnight there, then go all the way to our fish camp. By that time, it's time to hunt moose and stuff, you know. Time for fishing. That's for our winter food. Now we're going to work. We'll get maybe a box of shells apiece, you know, rifle shells. So we start hunting next. First, what we do is when we get back to camp, we go seining. These people, Frank, Sam, and Elma, they have seining net, and Jim Edward have seining net. What is a long net, about 100 feet long. And the person would go, two guys go with boat, and if three of us, then one guy hold the rope in the ground, and we shane in the dit water. We would have long line the back end. We paddle out so far, kind of easy. Start putting the net in the water downstream around that dit water. These people, they really know how to work those kind of net. If they see bubbles in the dit water, you know, around noontime, they said that's where the fish is. So they try to go around that place, put the net down. It's dit water. Put the net down around that place, then down in the other end, we paddle back real easy with long rope again. By the time we get to the shore, the fish net is way out there, the post in two ends. This long, what, four or 5 foot long sticks tie on the end. Make sure the fish net don't just get too narrow all at once, you know. So we start pulling it back. Sometimes they get both lotus, big boat, one chain. And we put them all in boat. We put long, narrow willows through the fish and put about 10 on one willow. We call it one willow. That's what they call them, you know. And we tie it with just enough to pack in. Sometimes they get 50 willow or more, 70 willow.
Wow.
A fish, 10 on each willow.
So now these fish are not dried?
No, they're just fresh, you know.
Okay.
So we take them back to camp, then they kind of divide them even, you know. There's three family, if 70 willow, you know, they divide them just even. They're small white fish. We call them chavaya and tashija, that's white, big white fish, and talaga, that kind of, I forget what they call that fish now. It's between those chabara and tashira. Three kinds. They would also be grailing too, but we used to grailing for dogs in summertime. Then what Bertha and her sister do is they scale the fish and make dry fish right now and smoke it. Yeah, then while they're drying the fish, we go out hunting. We get some food for the family now.
Sure. Let me just ask a quick question about that net. Was that a cotton net?
Yeah, that was some kind of twine. They call it twine net, you know.
And where did they get those?
They buy it. They buy a roll of twine, you know. And they make their own seining net. Yeah, they make their own seining. It from way back, the seining net I've seen the first time. And maybe part of it get rotten, you know, then they cut it off, make new one. Just little short piece, like 20 feet long or 10 foot long every year, you know.
Eliza and I were working in the office the yesterday, and we were talking about a paper that needed some correction. And the next thing I knew, Eliza had her moose hide protector on and her shuttle and her roll of nylon twine, and she was, you know, putting the twine on the shuttle.
Yeah.
Getting ready to do exactly that, you know, to either make or mend a net.
Yeah, that's the way. And the Eskimos used to do it, the manch, make the net. And and there's the fishnet or thorn or knitting, they fix it up too, you know. But in Indian society, it's women do all those work.
So how did you resolve that? Did Bertha make the nets or did you?
Yeah, she made the net.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I could never make it, not even one stitch of fishnet.
Yeah. Let's stop for just a minute, take a little break.
Now, what was I talking about?
Let's see, we were...
Oh, yeah, that.
You were starting... we're talking about seining with the net and the fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, you know, I finished that fishing already, and we bring the fish back, and they scale it and cut it, you know, the woman's. And after that, we go hunting again. And by that time, this end of August, you know, ready to hunt moose. So sometime we get moose, stay out maybe 1 week or more, then bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
And what women do again is, after we hang it, then they make dry meat.
Mm-hmm.
Dry meat. That's the only way we could keep it, because there's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
We never think to have a root cellar or anything, you know, in the camp. There's people are awful smart in the Arctic, you know, up the Eskimos, they have road cellar and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know anything about that. We're too lazy, I guess.
I don't know about that.
So the women make dry meat with it, you know, because it'll spoil anyway.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
By the time September, then it's easy to keep meat.
Mm-hmm. Did you pick berries at all that time
then
of year?
The women pick berries.
Uh-huh.
They go out while we're out hunting. The women, whoever, stay home, you know, with our kids. They take the kids out and pick berries maybe one day, sometime 2 days when there's lots of berries.
Mm-hmm.
And they always put berries away for the winter.
What kind of berries did they pick?
Mostly cranberries.
Uh-huh.
Mostly cranberries, the lubus cranberries, yeah. Yeah.
And how did they put them away?
They put them away. Sometimes they used to have some kind of box, you know, all different kind of box. They used to have box, what we call milk box.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime after birth and me got married, you know, then we started to see cardboard box, you know. So she fixed it up some way to keep bears inside all winter.
Mm-hmm.
No plastic bag.
Sure.
Yeah, so they have to have something to keep it on. But before us, you know, they have all basket.
Uh-huh.
All basket.
Birch bark,
yeah. And on our turn, then there was no more birch bark basket to keep food in. Bertha had basket, you know, from her grandmother, but she used it for picking bears, that's all.
Did they put them down in, or put them away in fat or anything like that, or just as they were?
This is the way they are, you know. This is the way they are, yeah. They just pick it, and for the winter storage, Bertha would stick a little hole in the ground, you know, by the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it kind of cool down in that place, so they wouldn't spoil, I guess.
Sure.
And when we move again, then pretty soon. Yeah, after we hunt in the fall, and we start seining.
Mm-hmm.
That's Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
We start seining. Every day when there's lots of fish. I know one time there was so much fish while our kids were small.
Mm.
And we seine every day. Three different places will make fish caches. What is the Eskimos call them? Saloon. I don't know what that means. That's Eskimo word. Anyway, those little fish caches was built on the ground, right on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they were made out of posts, like building little house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen pictures of them.
Yeah, they were about 4x6 or something in sight.
Mm-hmm.
And you build it so high, you build it about 3 feet high, I think, inside. Room enough for a cache. fish. And we had our own. That's the first time I ever built one, you know, and I see those guys had their own fish cache, you know. Frank Sam and Jim Edward, they both did, you know, quite a while back. That's the one I used to go with, you know, then. And we put fish cache in Svanaka, three cache in there, then down in Pudush Bar, another three cache, one each, you know. Then down in Chalakaga, we had another three cache. That one fall. There was so much fish. The first time I ever see that much fish in my life.
Wow.
I grew up where there's not much fish, you know, just mostly animal.
Yeah. Did they get any salmon up the Alatna at all?
They did get salmon, but by the time they get up there, they're not very good. They're not. Whitefish is the best up the Alatna River. Seafish and whitefish, they're the best ones. But the salmon is now got up that way. They're beat up, you know, by the time they get up there.
Pretty well gone.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about hunting moose. It sounds like from what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there were more moose by this time than there were when you were real young.
Yeah, really. There was more moose that time. I think there were more moose that time than today yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Moose just started coming that time. And there was all kinds of moose up a lot in the river. Moose all over. Whenever we get moose every year when moose are here, you know. And in the summer.
Is that good moose country today?
Really good moose country. I don't know about now, right now, because I never been up that way for about 15 years now, this. But anyway, people go up there and get their moose all the time.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, and sheep hunting up a lot now. People still go up every other year to hunt sheep.
Did you hunt sheep then?
I hunt sheep, about 1952, I guess, 53. Somewhere around there, I hunt sheep with same guys, Jim Edwards and Frank Sam again.
I'm going to have to turn this off.
You'll fix it up, you know. okay.
Sure.
What else?
Let's see, we were talking about sheep hunting. So people didn't really start, am I correct in saying that people didn't really start sheep hunting until a little bit later than the time we've been talking about? Or?
No, it's the same time. Sheep season open August 20 them days, you know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, August 20th for I forgot how long, anyway, a long time. But I hunt sheep one time with those two guys, about three different times, but they never get nothing while I was with them. But one time they got two sheep, two big ram, and we had to pack it about 10 miles walking.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but that's a good meat.
Everyone I've talked to has said that that's really wonderful, good
rich meat. Rich meat,
Are there many sheep up in that area now?
They say there's a lot of sheep because nobody kills sheep, only the trophy hunters, that's all, I guess, get their sheep up there every year.
So after you hunted moose and hunted sheep, what happened next?
And, you know, we started fishing. That's the one I was just telling you.
Okay.
Yeah, and we started fishing. We put fish away for the winter. That's for our dog feed and our food. And we always eat frozen fish too, you know, when we go out trapping.
Right.
Yeah. And after they kind of age, you know, the fish, some of them, you know, just right, and that's when it's really good. You can live on that after we get used to it. It's nothing. So that's starting the fall. Then after a while, when it started getting cold, and we moved to cabin, that's when Bertha never go to town till sometime before Christmas. This 1 year, we moved down to what we call Blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
Her
mm-hmm.
daddy's place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had cabin there, and we stayed in cabin. And from in there, we go get our sled down Ellicottet, which is about 9 or 10 miles over the portage. We walk our dogs over
mm-hmm.
after freeze up, mm-hmm. after snow, and we drive the dogs back.
Mm-hmm. So you'd have the dogs with you in fish camp all summer?
All summer, yeah. They work all summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you use dogs at all packing when you went hunting?
No, I never did. I think I did that one spring, in springtime, that's
uh-huh.
all.
Uh-huh.
For dog that pack muskrat.
Uh-huh.
That's the only time I remember I let one dog pack whatever we get, you know, muskrat or a duck.
Mm-hmm.
But there was people before us used to use dogs all the time for packing.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever they go, they have two dogs or one dog.
Mm-hmm.
Pack their food and everything.
It's always sounded like a good idea to me.
Yeah, they trained them so much on those
uh-huh.
dogs, learn, you know, so
uh-huh.
they just do whatever their master say, you know.
Yeah.
So our dogs was kind of snow machine like, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Everything.
They were your kicker and your snow machine.
Yeah, kicker and snow machine, really.
Yeah. When did people first start using kickers around Ellicottet?
Back about 48 or 49,
mm-hmm.
somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. Late
40s
then.
Yeah, late 40s.
Did many people have inboards before then?
No, nothing. There was very few people. The store man was the only one who had kicker for a long time.
Uh-huh.
There was few guys, you know, beside that store man
mm-hmm.
had kickers.
Mm-hmm.
But there were not too many. I could just count about two, that's all, in the village. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then about 1948, and I started to see all kinds of kicker people have, you know.
Yeah.
They hunt muskrat. Muskrat was $2 or something, you know.
Uh-huh.
So whoever get a lot of muskrat, they buy the kicker.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
For the summer.
What kind of kickers did people
they were
have?
Were mostly even root.
Uh-huh.
14 horse was the big kickers.
Uh-huh.
And 22 horse even root.
Uh-huh.
Those kind of kickers.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything yet, me and Bertha.
Uh-huh.
We had little second-hand 5-horse Johnson
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't afford to have kicker. Our kids, we had to buy everything for our kids first,
sure.
whatever little money we make.
Mm-hmm.
Because our kids, we had 5 little kids then, you know. They have to have clothes.
Mm-hmm. Have a lot to take care of.
A lot to take care of. And they get a little older. Then this is fall time. Then bring Bertha back to town for Christmas. After trapping, you know, in
mm-hmm.
November and December,
mm-hmm.
not too much to catch, you know, but there was few marten. I think sometime I catch about 6 marten that
mm.
time, which is about $25 or $30 for one marten, and just enough to buy food from James again. We have to order food from Hughes, but James had their own plane.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring food up for us.
Mm-hmm. Was there a store in Ellicottet, or did you order from him because you had worked for him?
There was no store in Ellicottet for a long time.
Oh, I see.
They had what they call government store. I don't know what that means, government store they had.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of different kind of food, you know.
Uh-huh.
But just one winter, that's all. After Wilfred Evans closed his store in 1946,
mm-hmm.
or no, 1945, I guess he closed his store.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, Wilfred Evans had the store.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he closed his store, then no more store.
Mm. That must have made it hard for people.
Really, it was hard for people. nobody had enough money to start little business, mm-hmm. it would be really good temptation.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody had started business temptation,
mm-hmm.
it would, somebody would really help out and help himself out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody had enough money to start anything like that.
Yeah.
Then 1952, I guess, the missionary, first missionary priest come mm-hmm. around, he talk with people, he want people to donate little money to start cooperative store.
Mm-hmm.
He got little money from the from our church, what is Episcopal Church,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how much he bought for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they started starting it, it started to work good after.
Mm.
And
that was a real service then.
Yeah. It was right in the village. And after a while, that go broke too.
Oh dear.
So, started village. There was somebody else running, had his own store next. My nephew, Donald Burton, he had a little store too. So.
Mm-hmm.
That worked for a while too. Then, pretty soon, we have our own store next again. What is the corporation store, they mm-hmm. call it. That's the one really help out now.
Mm.
I hope it works all the time now.
Mm.
That's our own.
Mm-hmm. When you came in for the, at that time, when you came into town for like Thanksgiving, what was that like?
For Thanksgiving when we come into town, there was hardly anybody in the village. Nobody.
Huh.
Everybody in camp.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, everybody in camp. Few people come to town for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Just to stay overnight. That's mm-hmm. all. Look at the kids have Thanksgiving party.
Mm-hmm.
The school kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's would all. That be at the school?
At the community hall.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody leave again next day.
Mm-hmm.
Stay out.
Did you have any kind of a Thanksgiving dinner or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the missionaries, Michelle and Miss Kay, they used to make some kind of, I think they made coffee and what do you call them now? Coffee and there's some cookies, I think mm-hmm. very little, you know,
mm-hmm.
but enough for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to go around with
mm-hmm.
the little kids
mm-hmm.
on what they call pudding and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Did everyone eat in one place, like at a potlatch, or did
yeah,
everybody eat at
almost like a potlatch, you know, they pass it around
uh-huh.
in the community hall.
Oh.
Cocoa.
Uh-huh. That kind of thing.
Yeah, for the kids and coffee for the older people.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, they dance little, you know,
mm-hmm.
a few rounds and that's it. No,
mm-hmm.
no all night dance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was Christmas like then?
Then Christmas was the biggest day of the whole year. You wait for Christmas so long, I guess, when it finally comes around, that's the biggest time they ever have. They have service on Christmas Day, the evening service. First, the Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
12 o'clock.
Midnight
yeah,
service.
Midnight service.
Yeah.
Everybody, I used to see our parents, the older people, they dress up for that time,
uh-huh.
even no matter how cold it is out there.
Oh my.
People used to dress up, have ties and white shirt and shoes. They have hat, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I remember my real dad, Billy Burton, used to really dress up my mother and all the other people.
Uh-huh.
Nobody drank them days, nothing.
Mm.
It was midnight service, sober, and stand in church and have midnight service. In early morning, who never go to service at midnight, you know? Next morning, they have service. Christmas Day service
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
So those people go
mm-hmm.
again. And Christmas evening, that's when the Santa used to come.
Mm.
Christmas Day in the evening, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
5 o'clock every year, still today.
Mm-hmm.
But today is Christmas Eve, you know, at Alakakit now. Yeah. It starts Christmas Eve. But when I was small, till I didn't know, till our kids was big kids now, then only, I don't know how, they changed it to Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
But when we were small, Christmas day in the evening, 5 o'clock, Santa used to come, pass it, present for the kids. Then I started waiting for New Year next. That's when we wait and people play football every night and dance every night the whole week. Finally, New Year come around. Stay up all night to wait for that Happy New Year. People would get up early, and who get up first, walk around town, say Happy New Year to everybody. Wake everybody up early. You're not in the Indian story, you're not supposed to sleep long in New Year. You start out New Year just happy, you know. You're not going to sleep all day. But that's the way you're going to be the whole year, they used to tell us, the old people.
I see.
So you better get up early.
I
don't know, I never did get up. I used to be drunk and everything all those years. I don't know how I make out. But anyway, after a while, you know, like what Bertha told the story yesterday, I never did drink when our kids were small. Because I know our kids was kind of sad a lot of times. Because this year is hangover and want to drink some more and everything. I think we quit drink about over seven years ago. Two of us. It was getting too much for our kids. Our kids watch us drink. We never drink day after day, you know, but whenever we get a little money, then we drink. We had a lot of food in the house though for our kids. Not like the people that really drink. After a while, I find out there's people that really drink have nothing. But that's sad, you know. If we could do it over again, we would never drink for our kids. I just tell the story so if somebody ever read it, you know, smart people that think about it, you know.
Takes courage to say those things, though.
Really. We have to try to help somebody because that's our experience, you know. For our kids. Our kids, we talk with them every now and then where we get a chance, you know. Take wearing out.
We can go just a couple minutes longer if you want to, but then we'll have to turn it over.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. So, finally, New Year come around then. New Year. Everybody stay up all night, dance part of the night, and next day, big potlatch, New Year Day. Big potlatch they have. Everybody donate whatever they have, you know. Whatever they keep all that time. Older people, that dry fish from last summer, dry meat, fresh meat, bear meat with fat, everything good. They used to donate money. They never donate walking around, you know, but they go in the hall. Tomorrow going to be potlatch. We're going to have some soup and stuff, so we have to buy vegetable can. They start with canned vegetables and stuff, you know, onion, potatoes and stuff. Okay, you could turn it off.
We better stop here. Easier, you know. Okay.
When they donate money, they used to go in the hall, and whoever is the chief, go out there and take out some money. You know, they used to be silver dollars. And people would drop it out there on the floor, right out in the middle of the floor, and her parents. They jump up, they never sit down very long. They try to go out there first, like the way they work, you know, when I watch them. You know, when I think back, I watch people go out there and drop whatever they have, you know, to $2 to $3, big silver dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Make a lot of noise when they drop it out there.
Sure.
And the person who collect the money, no paperwork, nobody write anything.
Yeah.
But they just know what they're going to buy. They know how much money they're going to need and everything. Just their head. Mm-hmm. Smart people.
Mm.
The chief collect the money. He keep the money.
Mm-hmm. Who was the chief then?
There was John Oldman was the chief in Ellicott for a long time. And there was Chief Henry, Aunt Bessie Henry's husband.
Mm-hmm.
He was chief for a long time, Ellicott. There was my dad, Billy Berkman, and my uncle who raised me, mm-hmm. Henry Moses. Mm-hmm. He was chief for a long time too. There were a lot of other people, you know.
Mm-hmm. How did someone get to be chief?
They just say, you're going to be chief. Well, you're the chief.
Uh-huh. So it was kind of people in town?
Yeah. Who they pick out, I guess, who they trust or anything, you know, who can tell you the right thing, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So the chief always kind of run everything.
Mm-hmm.
Before Christmas, you know, for the decoration for in the hall and in our church, the chief tell them what day they kind of gather, you know, mm-hmm. before Christmas. And say what day they're going to decorate the hall and the church, what time in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that morning, everybody get together and go out, get whatever they decorate the hall and church with, you know, spruce and post and stuff, and mm-hmm. tree. And the missionary donate the Christmas decoration, what they call those, all kinds of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They got all this, no electric stuff.
Uh-huh.
It was just baggage stuff, you know. They tinsel. Hang it on trees. Yeah. They hang it on the trees and everything. Hang Christmas ring, they call it, in the window and stuff, you know.
Oh, like a wreath?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They put the willow, round willow, then they tie that spruce on it.
Uh-huh.
They do all that before Christmas. And pretty soon the chief tell them what day they're going to collect the meat, what time. So they collect the meat and where they're going to store it
mm-hmm.
for New Year Day.
Mm-hmm.
They have all that plan taken care of, you know, before New Year.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to cook pot of soup and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of meat they'll make pot of soup, what. Everything just all planned out just like that. Don't need no paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So the chief, that's what chief take care of.
Sure.
Then if they won't go all hand work, they call all hand work, you know, they haul wood for the hall and the church every now and then mm-hmm. too. One day.
For all hand work, you mean all hands?
Yeah, everybody.
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 Yeah.
Like hauling wood for the hall
uh-huh.
for that one whole week.
Uh-huh.
People would haul wood with dogs, you know, uh-huh. big slate they have.
Sure.
So one load would be big load. And they pile mm-hmm. big pile of wood right in front of the hall
mm-hmm.
and the church boat. Mm-hmm. So that's the chief work. He talk about all those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What they want. What
make all the arrangements.
Yeah, make all the arrangements. And find the path last, and after New Year, then I remember people started leaving for camp mm-hmm. again, trapping mm-hmm. and everything.
Did people dance on New Year, or was that mainly just
dance
to eat?
Dance one whole week.
Oh, okay. From Christmas to New
yeah,
Year.
Yeah, from Christmas to New Year.
Yeah.
They dance every night. Sometimes they lay off one or two nights, mm-hmm. you know, rest up. And they dance square dances most.
Mostly square dances?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play the violin for some of those dances?
Yeah, I started playing violin for some of those dances after a long time when I was 16, you know,
uh-huh.
15 and older, started playing. All night that long they dance, you know, in the hall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's stop for just a second and